Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today will be David Holly. This is another After the Whistle episode, as we are recording this about an hour after Fulham's 3-0 loss in the FA Cup. This was a one-sided match as Tottenham Hotspur dominated from the beginning to the end of this game. We have a lot to talk about in this match. Before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show, Mr. Holly. How you doing?
Hiya, Russ. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm gutted. Yeah. What an anticlimax it turned out to be. All the excitement, chance to show us to national television what a great team we are.
I know.
And we failed. We failed completely, I'm afraid. We failed. So very upset, very upset.
I'm right there with you. I'm very disappointed by this match. Great opportunity here. And unfortunately, the other team was much better than Fulham here. And we'll go through that. All right, David, let's get right into this. We have much to discuss. I definitely want your thoughts on the starting 11, because I think there's a good discussion there. But before we do that, let's just opening thoughts on what you watched, my friend.
Well, I'm afraid my main complaint is going to be with the coach on this one. I think he set us up wrongly. We know Spurs are a good side. Table doesn't lie. However, we've seen, you know, FA Cup one-off matches, teams taking the game to their higher opposition, making them work for their wins or not. In that case, in the case of Lincoln, in the case, you know, of Millwall, Huddersfield almost as well yesterday. Oxford put in a great effort as well. Away at Middlesbrough, came back from 2-0 down to 2-2. And so you would expect that a team that's been playing well, good football in the Championship, some of the best football seen, would be able to take the game to Spurs and give them some problems, ask them some questions. But I think we were set up wrong. And what concerns me is that, you know, we've talked about this before we started today. What's the situation with Martin? Is Slavisa just being stubborn and making him sit on the bench for the rest of the season rather than letting him go back to Derby? Because for me, we needed him up front, or someone of his kind up front. We needed someone to hold the ball up. Our failure today was the fact that we did not hold the ball up front once, not really. There was extra pressure on our midfield to try and hold it. They couldn't cope with it, and the pressure was on defence. And we tried pushing forward, we left holes. And that was because everyone was running forward. If we had one person holding the ball up front better, then they could bring people into play one by one, pick them off. But no, we were just running forward like headless chickens. We were playing long balls to like midgets up front. You know, apologies to any midgets out there.
Sure.
But, you know, we've got in people like Aiti, Cabano, Syriac, we've got three guys who are quick and like to run at the ball and run with people, but none of them are big forwards. We did not hold the ball up, and that's where it went wrong. And I'm very angry with Slavisa, because not only did he fail to pick the right team, I think, to give us a chance against Spurs, he failed to make the changes as well at half time. At half time, we were so lucky. It was like Fulham against Brighton the other way around. You know, we had a match where we dominated the match, and yet the other team was still in the game. Spurs dominated the first half. It could have been a lot more than 1-0. But we were still in the game. And this was the chance he had to make the change at half time, do something different, give it a go. But he didn't. He carried on with the same situation. And Spurs just picked us off. They're a quality side. They did much better than we did. You know, there's no shame in the fact of saying they were a good side. They put a strong team out. They took the game seriously. But we made it far too easy for them. Far, far too easy for them. And that's what upsets me the most. We did not give a good account of ourselves. We can do a lot better than that. But why? Why is, Martin being left on the bench now when it's clear we need a hold-up player? But even perhaps worse than that, this is what really, really annoyed me. Piazon. I've been impressed with Piazon. I know not everyone likes him, but I've been impressed with him. He had a great game on Tuesday, by all accounts, scored a nice goal. And what happened to him? Has he said he wants to go back to the other team in Fulham? No, he loves it here. He's, you know, I'm sure he'd stay permanently if he could. And he got left on the bench the whole match, dropped from Tuesday's lineup effectively, and not even given a chance today. Why? What was Slavisa doing? Piazon at least is part of that integral link-up play. He holds the ball up better. He's involved with short passing better. Rather than people like, say, Cabano and Aiti, who like to run with the ball and try and take people on. I think Piazon would have been a lot better piece of the jigsaw as well, but didn't even get a look in. And then towards the end, he brought on Scott Parker. I know the game was lost by then, but what did that do apart from a bit of sentiment? Nothing else really. So I'm afraid big thumbs down today for Fulham and for the coach.
Okay, David, and I'm not going to disagree with pretty much anything you just shared there. I'm right there with you. I think Fulham were outplayed. Definitely, they were the better side. They have the better players, so let's talk about that. But when you lose like this, you're not just losing with the players. You're losing as a club, meaning that you're outplayed and you're also outcoached. Savica was outcoached here. This team knew how to play against us. Of course, their style is a major help here, but they did not give us the space. They knew going in how to play against us. Mike even said this, that he believed that Pochettino would be ready for us and that would know how to play against us and not give us any space. And that's exactly what happened. They were on top of us. Whenever Tom Kearney got the ball, David, you saw this. There seemed to be like three players around him. So they knew exactly what they were going to do. And we didn't have any answers for that. So this is an all-around failure. This just isn't about the players. It's also about the coach. And I'm glad that you mentioned the coach. But I want to ask you this, because I'm going to agree with you that I would have started Martin having that focal point. I think that might have changed things. But let's be honest here. I don't think Fulham win this match, even if they do that.
We'll never know, will we now? But at least, you know, had he brought Martin on at halftime and had a second half that was different to the first, then we could have said, yes, he was right to start with the players he started. Well, yes, he was right to change it. No, he was wrong. He should have started with Martin from the start. But we never saw that style. Unfortunately, what he did really, he just went, you know, by taking off one player and then bringing on, obviously, Syriac, ended up playing instead of, you know, Aiti or Cabano in that front row. He just changed more or less a like-for-like kind of player. And we still try to play long ball football, and it doesn't work. I mean, one of the goals came from, I think it was the second or third goal, came from Bettinelli hitting yet another long ball forward towards someone who didn't win a header. It was, that, you know, mopped up by the Tottenham centre-backs. It was all mopped up in the air, and the ball came straight back up the other end, and they scored. So I would have liked to have seen what's happening. And it's, you know, you're right about we had no space in midfield because we didn't have a focal point. You know, Martin, we've seen when he plays well, he plays very well with our system. He works very, very well holding the ball. He's strong. He holds the ball up. He can flick the ball in lots of different directions. He allows people to come in from different directions. One other person I haven't mentioned, and maybe it's a bit harsh to blame him, but Ryan Fredericks, if he hadn't got himself stupidly sent off, he would have been available to play today. And I think he would have been an asset as well, because he would have offered us something extra, that pace down the wing. Because unfortunately, one reason or another, it didn't happen with Aluku, really. He didn't have that. And Adoy, I was not impressed with him at all either. He was very weak in the challenge. He didn't get forward very much either. On the other side, of course, we have Malone goes forward all the time. And I think Spurs, they picked on that a bit, because Aiti was tucking in and Malone was going forward. All the time we were like, there was a gap in our left back position. And that was allowing Trippier and Christian Eriksen to get into there. Because I said, watching the match, I was watching it with Tom, and I said, they've got to stop Christian Eriksen. And honestly, within minutes, it's not another David Hulley was right again, but it was, you know, Eriksen has put a cross in. And perfect. They've scored their first goal. Because from that, you could really see it coming. But I think if you remember, myself and Mike both said on the previous show, we wanted to see Martin starting. Not because we like Martin or we like what's happened with the situation, but we feel that you need that. Do you remember at the start of the season, Mike and I both complained when we were playing McDonald and Parker together in central midfield?
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
They're far too similar players. And all our success has come since it got changed around. But in the same is here. I think, you know, it's great that, you know, obviously Cabano and Syriac and Aiti and Aluku, of course, they're different players and they have different skills. But they're kind of a similar ilk. They're short guys who like to run with the ball, take people on, but they're not necessarily, you know, strong, not necessarily good at tracking back or whatever. But Martin is a completely different type of player. He's much more physical player, and you certainly need that. And Spurs, they were quite a physical side. They're quite a big side, even, you know, skillful players like Dele Alli He's quite a big guy. He's well over 6 foot, I believe. Their centre-backs look massive against our strikers today. And all over the park, really, they were like, everyone was one up on us. They really were. And that was partly because of the way we were set up, but also the golfing class. So, you know, we were playing the yes. game with one hand tied behind our back. To have a chance, we needed to be at our best, and we were nowhere near being at our best. I think I saw someone say the scoreline flattered Spurs at 3-0. Well, I think it probably flattered Fulham, to be honest with you. It probably should have been a lot
five
more.
Or six, Steven,
I think honestly. it really could have been, much as I hate to see it, I do not like Spurs. I've always had this sort of inherent hatred for Spurs. I don't know why. It's an irrational thing like like we have with Haaland, you know, and a few other places as well. But I've never liked them. I just think they always get the luck somewhere. But sometimes
this wasn't luck today. Yeah, this wasn't luck today.
They had a debatable call on the second goal, maybe. Could have been offside.
Absolutely. I thought it was, David. You know, you beat me to the punch because I was going to go through when we talked about that second goal in the second half. I thought he was offside. And I saw so many views of that.
I think it was just offside. But it's very hard to give in that in real time. I understand that. But this is kind of epitomizes the sort of luck that Spurs get. I think just after that, it was an offside call against Cabano or someone for Fulham, and it was in the same. If you looked across the line, I think it probably was just onside. We didn't get the luck back. I thought the ref was pretty poor, like I predicted on Friday as well.
You actually said that.
I can't say the ref cost us a match, but I thought in lots of 50-50 situations we got a bad run from him. I don't like this ref. I never have liked him. Incidentally, I think he was the ref when we lost 6-0 up at Hull. But again, that had nothing to do with him. That was just down to us being right. really rubbish that day as well. That was a match we were 0-0 at half time, if you remember. And I had the benefit of watching that match, you know. And that was a great day out. That was so. Yeah, it's two of my favourite teams in one or two sentences there.
Oh boy, my friend. All right. Well, listen, we've already kind of been talking about the starting 11, but let's get into it a little bit more. We've already talked about the situation at striker up front. We could also talk about some of the other decisions made here. You know, you've already talked about some of the decisions. So just give me your overall thoughts on the starting 11, David, and then we'll pick that apart a little bit.
Well, I mean, most of the starting 11 fairly picks itself, you know, these days. We both said we wanted to see Kallas play if he was fit, and that was the case. We knew Bertinelli would start in goal. Pretty sure it would be Odoi and Malone coming back in. The slight question of which is the other centre-back, but his preferred first-choice pairing has seemed to be Kallas and Raymond, so that's what we saw today. The midfield three, the three musketeers, whatever we call them, yeah, that was pretty obvious as well. Aluku's pretty much there. So it was just really down to the other two. Would it be IT? Would it be Piazon? Would it be Syriac? Would it be Martin or whatever? And obviously we saw, you know, slightly unusual case, you know, Cabana, who is normally a central midfielder or attacking central midfielder or plays wide, actually playing as a lone striker, and Aiti playing in his kind of usual position on the left of midfield. Obviously, not what I would have agreed with, because, and it's easier to sit here and say, you know, in hindsight, I was right. But I wasn't. I was right in foresight as well, because I wasn't happy with this before. As I said on Friday, I wanted to see Chris Martin come back to hold the play up. And that's what didn't happen. We never held the play up and we put ourselves under pressure. So for me, the fact that I think it's probably only the pick of Cabano, which I would disagree with. Otherwise, it pretty much picks itself. Although I would have liked to have seen Piazon retained. If he wasn't going to play Cabano, I would have rather, if he wasn't going to play Martin, I would have much rather seen Piazon play instead of Cabano, because there's much more chance of holding the ball up. And as I say, we have too many people, similar kind of players who just sort of like to run at people, but we need someone to do something different with the ball. So for me, I was concerned when I saw the starting lineup, as I was when I saw the Spurs lineup, obviously.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because when I saw the Spurs lineup, I got very concerned. I'm not kidding there, because I saw, man, they put on an extremely strong side. This is going to be a difficult task. So I knew an hour before the match that this is going to be difficult on Fulham, and it certainly was, David. The only other thing I want to ask you about, because I believe you did pick Malone to start the match. I know it's second-guessing here, but Ryan Sessegnon ended up playing well. Was this the right decision?
I think we had to pick, in this case, our strongest team, and Malone is our first choice at left back. I know, you know, he's not the best player in the world, but I think he's done a great job for us in the main this year. He's you know, he's been defensively, he's been okay. Attack wise, he's added a lot, and I think his all round game is ahead of Sessegnon at the moment. Obviously, Sessegnon is a fantastic talent, but I think it would be too much pressure for the young one. So I stick by the decision to pick Malone. The problem with Malone, as I've said in the opening ramble, is that Malone plays very far forward. If you look at the average positions, he's always pretty much, it's almost like playing 3-5-2, but without necessarily having the third central defender. And as we saw today, Malone's natural position meant there was a space quite often which Spurs exploited down the right.
Absolutely.
Tim Ream got pulled over, but I don't know whether that's about Malone. Well, that's about the coach, because Malone needed someone else to cover. Normally, we would see McDonald dropping back between the centre-backs, which would allow Ream to go out wider and naturally cover that position. That didn't really happen very well today. Just was a lack of fluidity. And it was as if really Spurs were just much quicker, because the number of times we just were sort of dawdling and not going for the second ball. Spurs were first to that second ball all the time. They were much more focused for it. So I think Malone was the right pick. I've seen a few people criticising him today on Twitter and stuff, but I don't think it was down to him any more than anyone else that, you know, our performance was as it was today. I certainly, I would put my colours on the mast and say he is my first choice at left back at the moment, because I think his all-round game is better than Sessegnon.
Very good there, David. And in the end, for me, this is talking about a different type of quality. They are Premier League, high Premier League. We're talking about can contend for a title. They certainly did last season, and they're not probably going to this season, but they're pretty high up there. They're third, so you're just talking about a different quality of player here, and it showed itself. It definitely showed itself, but like we talked about, we did not play to our capability either. We made it easier on them, I think, and I think you've already kind of said that as well, David. All right, let's now go through the first half, and I'll just share some of the key moments here, and then we're going to really focus on the goal, because I want your thoughts on the goal here. But let's start with Spurs, because they were at this from the get-go. They had opportunities in the fourth minute. Eriksen had one saved by Marcus Bettinelli. 1 minute later, you have a shot by Dele Alli. Then you had an opportunity in the 11th minute by Scott Malone for Fulham. And then, unfortunately, 5 minutes later, David, and this is where I want you to really break down the goal by Harry Kane. Set up by Eriksen, like you've been talking about, he was excellent in this match, and he causes all kinds of problems down the right. And he had some great crosses right on the foot of Harry Kane. He basically just did so much. To me, I wouldn't say Harry Kane didn't have to do something to score, but he really got it right there for him. I thought Eriksen was excellent, unfortunately, for Fulham. And then 1 minute later, Ali almost made it 2-0. So They were looking for that second goal. Then you had that crazy opportunity from Fulham in the 20th minute that Vorm let the ball go a little bit, and Tom Kearney almost took advantage of that opportunity. And David, looking back at it, all these like little opportunities, we needed to hit on one of them, and we didn't hit on this one. And then you had a couple in stoppage time, one by Johansson and one by Luka. They just could not get that goal. And they weren't going to get many opportunities, but they needed to hit early on one of them. If we went in the half 1-1, I think this might have been a little bit different of a match, but we didn't. We go in the half down 1-0, and we're fortunate, honestly, really fortunate to only be down 1-0, and I think you're going to agree with me on that, David. All right, David, talk about the first half, and let's focus on that goal in the 16th minute.
Well, said already, there'd been a couple of times where Eriksen and Trippier have been getting in advanced positions on the right there, in the sort of space that Malone would leave when going forward. And we know Eriksen from, you know, from when we've played against Spurs in the Premier League and just from obviously watching Premier League, that he has a quality delivery. Because, you know, we had a few times we got into advanced positions, but, you know, unfortunately, as is the case for us, our delivery has been poor. And on a couple of occasions today, you know, Malone's delivery was poor when getting into advanced positions, or he was hitting the first man. But, you know, this was literally a breakaway. And you know, Eriksen's found himself in space again there. He's put a sort of a very well-weighted ball in. And even Kallas, I don't know if Kallas was slow to see it, but, you know, even Kallas was made to look, you know, fairly ordinary today, I'm afraid, by Tottenham and the movement and the pace they had. The ball's over the top, the ball's, you know, from the wings. Kane has got there first and, you know, he's done well. He's had to fling himself at the ball and you know, he's put it past Marcus Bellinelli, effectively sending him the wrong way. It was a good controlled finish on a stretch.
It was.
You know, from a ball that, you know, took everybody out. But, you know, far too much space and time for Eriksen there on the right. And as I say, this is the fact that I suppose we just had this blind running forward. You know, if you run forward like Malone does every match, and normally if you have someone holding the ball there, then we don't lose it. But we weren't. No one was holding the ball up. So Malone was having to chase back. And, you know, chase shadows. It's the same for all of them. You know, it's the same for McDonald, probably. All of these players are used to where we can hold the ball up in midfield. And even without Martin, you know, we've seen it from Kearney and Johansson, these nice little interplays, but it wasn't happening today. Like, no one could string passes together. You know, Kearney was made to look very pedestrian, you know, where he can normally do his little turns and flicks with the ball. They were just taking the ball off him. They were surrounding him. They did their homework very well, Spurs. You know, apart from starting, you know, in the very first minute, we started quite well and chased them down. After that, it was really one-way traffic, apart from the things you mentioned. Yep. You know, when Michel Vorm did that poor clearance, Kearney should have done better, I think. You know, he's hit it back towards the near post where Vorm was along the ground. He needed to get it, you know, to score. He needed to get it towards the far post and in the air, I think, to bend it into the far corner if you wanted to score. And, you know, we had at the end that ball across the box, which was one of the occasions we did get a good ball in. But I think it was Cabano, IET, missed it in the middle. Then it came out to IET and he shot, Luku, and he shot straight at the keeper. But really, that was it. That was where we troubled them. Yeah. The rest of the time, it's one-way traffic. Ali should have done much better in the, you know, the chance he had. And there were a few last-ditch tackles. I mean, we did see a few good tackles from and blocks from some of the defence. Yeah, McDonald was certainly one I remember. But, you know, other times we were just too feeble. I can remember Odoi, you know, just in the second half. I know we haven't got there yet, but gave away a free kick on the edge of the area. And it was a ball to be won. It gave them a dangerous free kick on the edge of the area. They looked, despite the fact they played good football, they looked a much stronger team as well. The ref wasn't really given anything today. He did allow a few for Fulham, but he allowed a lot for Spurs as well. Robust tackles to win the ball, where you would expect normally to see a free kick given. But the ref was determined to kind of play on with everything, really. And that actually favoured Spurs more than us, because they actually appeared to be a more physical side than we did, if you look at it, winning the way they won the ball and robbed us of possession. And so, as I said at the start, the fact that we were only 1-0 down at half time, I'd take that, because I thought we actually have a chance. Slavisa's going to realise it's clearly not working. It's not like it's, you know, not coming off, you know, it's a bit of bad luck. We've almost been there. It wasn't bad luck. We were completely outclassed and we needed to make a major change at half time. And the fact that he didn't, for me, that's really, you know, that's a bad indictment for me, because I think that's, he had nothing to lose in this game. It's, you know,
that's right.
It's not like a league match where you can be cagey and try and get the draw. It was clear that if we carried on the way things were going, we're going to be on the end of a beating. And it should have made a change at half time. But he didn't. Even Richard Osman, I think, on the pitch at halftime, and most people I saw on Twitter were saying, I think we need to bring on Chris Martin, because we weren't holding the ball up. We needed to hold the ball up to bring our star players into the play. We needed to bring Iluka into play.
David,
we needed
I totally to bring, agree with you.
Johansson into play. We needed to bring them all into play, but no one was getting into play because no one was holding the ball up.
Yeah, it's frustrating, David. And I do want to clarify one thing because I was really talking up Christian Eriksen before. And I do want to mention that Harry Kane did score some nice goals here, and he had to do a good amount on the first goal. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, David. I don't want to say that this is all about Eriksen because Harry Kane is a quality striker, and he certainly showed that in this match. But, boy, this is all about frustration, David. And I remember at halftime we have a message group that we message back and forth, and even I said, bring on Martin, bring on Martin. I was surprised that he did not do that. He did not do it at all. And that's the puzzling thing about this, because that to me seemed to be the thing, the plan B to change things up, because we needed that focal point, that player to hold the ball up. We did not have that. And I think that was playing into the hands of Spurs, David. That's the way I looked at it. All right, let's transition to the second half. And Spurs came out strong as they did in the first half. And then they get the goal in the 50th minute by Harry Kane. This is, again, set up by Eriksen. David, I think he was offside. We can talk about this a little bit, but still it was a high-quality goal by Harry Kane. Fulmer down 2-0. At that point, I really thought the match was over. I do want to mention that he did bring on Ryan Sessegnon, and I thought Ryan Sessegnon made a difference, David. Talk a little bit about that in your assessment as well. And then a little bit later on in the 71st minute, you had McDonald's header that just goes over the net. If he scored here, then maybe we have a chance to potentially get a draw. But that goes away 2 minutes later, because then you have the third goal. The hat trick was finished up here by Harry Kane, and the match was over at that point. You did have the header in the 82nd minute by Scott Parker. Like you mentioned, David, he did come on. It was too little too late, and they weren't able to do anything regardless. And the second half, I thought it could have been worse. I thought Fulham could have lost, like I said, 5-6-0. So 3-0. I'll take 3-0. I know that's sad to say, because I just think it could have been worse. This is a team that was just a major cut above, and I think they showed it throughout the entire match. But let's concentrate on the second half, David. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the second goal was definitely a big blow to get, but it's not a surprise because we made no changes at halftime. We carried on basically the same way as we had before.
Same stuff.
Spurs had the upper edge. And yeah, I'm sticking my neck on line. I say it was offside. It was close, but it was offside. But, you know, I think in the letter of the law, Steve Lidiard would probably confirm this. I think if there's any doubt, the advantage is meant to be given to the attacking side in these things now, these days. In the old days, it used to be the other way around. But now, so, you know, you can't fault that, really. You can't blame the officials for the way that the match went. Much as I thought, you know, they were very average today. It was purely a case that Spurs played better and we didn't. I think obviously after that, he's tried to make a change. It was a strange change for me, really, wouldn't you say, Russ? Bringing on Sessegnon, it wasn't the one you would have expected to see, I think, in this situation.
I expected because, Martin, David. I expected Martin at this point.
For saying that, obviously, what he did was... This is a thing now, you know, if you have cancer, yeah, do you try and cure the cancer or do you treat the symptoms, you know? And that's a bit sort of, I hope it's not insensitive to anyone who's been through suffering from cancer, but, or let's have something less controversial. But, you know, if you have an illness, Russ, of any type, do you try and cure the illness, the underlying illness, or do you just treat the symptoms of the illness? And for me, bringing on Sessegnon was not curing the illness. It was treating the symptoms.
I see what you're saying. The fact that
we had, the wrong person up front, I believe, and we weren't holding the ball up meant that we were going forward and getting caught in attack. So to do that, to address that situation, he's given Scott Malone some help by bringing on Sessegnon. So to give us a bit more strength down that flank, which kind of plugged the gap a little bit, I think, that had been exploited by Spurs. But it didn't cure the fundamental problem. It then just meant that...
Good analysis, David. Go on.
Yeah. You know, we've lost Aiti. I mean, I would have been much more happy to sacrifice Cabano, actually, if he was going to do that. And at least Aiti play him more central, I think, where he has played a few times for us. But obviously, for me, the real issue would have been to bring on Chris Martin. Chris Martin would have would have given us a focus for our play. We had no focus for our play. We were completely out of focus. Saying that, Sessegnon, you know, give him credit.
I thought he played well.
It did stabilise the situation a little bit, and it gave us a little bit more balance, I think, and stability on that side of the pitch. And he's a young lad, and it must be a difficult situation to come into, this sort of game where you are chasing a match that you've probably got no chance of getting back into. So Sessegnon on himself, I can't blame him, but I'm not sure about this substitution, really. I'm not. And, you know, likewise, the other substitutions, he's taken off Aluku and brought on Syriac. Again, it's kind of like for like, and the Cabana's just gone out to the right. But it hasn't, you know, he's gone out there, Salisu, say, right, we're going to pick every possible substitution we can make without involving Chris Martin. It was almost like that, you know, he's sticking two fingers up to Chris Martin and say, right, you know, I'm going to teach you now for what you did before. But the one that I said before, the one that suffered for me is Piazon. I would have loved to see Piazon come on to see if, you know, he would be able to hold the ball up as well, because he offers that sort of thing.
Yeah, show that a little bit, David. I'm glad that you mentioned it. You can do that a little bit.
Yeah, when Iaiti plays, Iaiti tends to run and try and play quick football going forward.
It's a great point about him.
Piazon does tend to play better with people like Martin and Johansson, and he will like little balls backwards and forwards. He'll, you know, get the ball, shield it, turn, give it back, take it again, move. His movement's very good. I think he would have offered also a better option to what we had. And then, of course, you know, bringing on Scott Parker, as I said, it's like a sentimental thing just to give him a go against his old team. But it didn't offer anything different, because he just was a light-for-light replacement to McDonald, who, you know, maybe was tired. Maybe he just thought, well, sod it, you know, we've lost the game now. Let's keep McDonald a bit more fresh for Bristol City or whatever in the week, which is fair enough. I can understand that. But really what you want to see, even at 3-0 down at that stage, you want to see them bring on even Matt Smith, if he was still available, just someone to chuck the ball forward and try and grab a goal or two, you know, because you said, you know, the 3-0. I would have been actually happy if we've lost 5-0, Russ, but really thrown the kitchen sink at them. But we didn't. Okay. We just keeled over, like, you know, with a whimper. We didn't really ever throw the kitchen sink at them. I'd have loved to seen that. But there was nothing in the second half, really. I mean, how many saves did Michel Vorm have to make? Not that many.
No, not really.
And by not really making any substantial changes, you know, the third goal was inevitable, really. And, of course, it was that man again, Harry Kane, lifelong Arsenal fan, I believe. pictured in Arsenal shirts as a child, anyway. That's why Spurs fans sing "He's one of our own" all the time about Harry Kane, because there's this thing that he's actually an Arsenal fan, because he was pictured with an Arsenal shirt on as a young lad, or about 11-year-old or something. Anyway, sure. Lots of pictures going around about him, but you know, he's Harry Kane. Obviously, is that, you know, he's been consistently one of the top scorers in the league. He's been England international. Whether you like him or not, he has, you know,
it's clinical, David.
And you know, that's what you need. He showed us what, you know, what we're lacking. We don't have that, anyone who's like that really in the team. I was dreading, actually, if the ref realized that he'd screwed up for the second goal, I was dreading he's giving us a sympathy penalty at some point. I think, oh my God, who's going to take it if we have that? You know, I'd be hiding behind my sofa. But second half, there isn't really much to note about, apart from what I thought were kind of fairly, you know, unimaginative substitutions, or, you know, ones that didn't make any difference anyway. It didn't show me anything, actually. It showed me that maybe Slavisa isn't quite the tactical genius that we think he is sometimes, because, or if he is, he is too pig-headed to maybe, you know, play Martin now. We have this real worry that there's something going on there, that Martin is now being dropped or made an example of, and he's going to play everyone else except Martin. and that worried me, that I think everybody out there today saw that we needed Chris Martin. Whether they like him or not, we needed someone to hold the ball up.
I agree.
And I'm sure at halftime, even on BBC, they were saying that. I know Rich Osman did when he was asked pitch side. Did you see that as well? Do you see the same thing as we do?
I didn't, David. We didn't get that over here.
I guess you had the adverts on, did you, or something?
Yeah, we did.
That's the only good thing about the BBC. We don't have the damn adverts to have to go through. So, yeah, Richard Osman was interviewed, Pip Shires, and he said, bring on Chris Martin. I think everyone said, bring on Chris Martin, because it was clear we needed to do something. So why did Slavisa not do that? If it was tactical ineptitude, then I'm very upset. And if it was pig-headedness, I'm very upset. So you tell me anyway. There's not much more to say about the second half, except no. It should have been more goals. We didn't stop the rot. We didn't really create a lot of problems for them. A little bit, maybe. A couple of other half moments. We got a few corners, but the delivery wasn't, you know, there was not really a time we tested, apart from, I guess, the only real chance was the header by Kevin McDonald, when maybe he should have done better, really. He did get there first. He's a big man. He got there first. He probably should have got it in the net. But apart from that, not much to say. And I'm sure the stats are going to bear me out on that.
Yeah, definitely, David. And the last thing I want to say about this match entirely, especially the second half, it really was like banging your head against the wall, David. It's the same thing. I expected Slavisa Jokanović to change things up. We've been complaining about a plan B, but honestly, Chris Martin could have at least given us something else to worry Spurs about. They didn't have anything to worry about. It was the same thing. So, you know, it really felt like I mentioned just doing the same thing. It was inevitable. Like you said, the goals were going to come because we didn't change anything. We didn't ask them any kind of questions in the second half, David, honestly. You know, maybe just a little possession near the end, but it was over at that point. There was an opportunity at the half, like you mentioned, to change something, to make them think about a different option there for Fulham, and that would have been Chris Martin, but he didn't do it for whatever reason. We can discuss why. We both have our theories on it, but in the end, he didn't do it, and that to me was a shame, because I think there was a chance there to potentially change things up. I still think Fulham lose this match, but I think I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if he started Chris Martin or even brought him in the second half. But for some reason, Slavisa Jokanović decided no Martin. And that to me was a mistake. And we should criticize him for that mistake, because I think it was a big mistake. All right. Time for the full-time stats before we get to Slavisa. I'm looking forward to your rating of Slavisa, David. You've already told me what it is, and I'm not shocked by that. All right. But before we get there, let's talk about the stats. Possession, 62% to 38%, David, in favor of Spurs. Total shots, 23-8 in favor of Spurs. On target, 7-3 in favor of Spurs. Corners, 7-5 in favor of Spurs. Crosses, 28-17 in favor of Spurs. Tackles in favor of Fulham, 26-21. 591 to 368 attempted passes in favor of Tottenham Hotspur. Attacking passes, 279 to 113 in favor of Tottenham Hotspur. Passing accuracy, 85% to 75% in favor of Tottenham Hotspur. Accurate passes, 507 to 278 in favor of Tottenham Hotspur. Aerial duels in favor of Fulham, 13-7. And fouls were even at 7 apiece. All right, David, definitely want your thoughts on the stats. And I don't know why I did this, but in the middle of giving you the stats, I changed it from Spurs to Tottenham Hotspur. That's a Goldman. So I have no idea why I did that.
I don't know if I can count that as a Goldman, really. it's got to be a proper one, you know. Okay. On our outtake reel that I'm sure everyone will... We should sell the outtake reel. That's got to make some money there.
It's going to be pretty funny.
Where you failed five times to say Wigan was brilliant, I think. I don't know why you failed to say Wigan. It's not even a difficult one.
I have no idea, David.
I don't know either, but it was funny anyway. But no, in terms of stats, well, they've done a bit of a Fulham on us, really, haven't they? You know, this normally we talk about Fulham as being, you know, the team that has the most possession and the most passes. But, you know, we've been steamrollered, haven't we? You know, we really have.
Dominated.
You know, they've totally dominated us, really. You know, if you watch the match, it's not surprised to see that. I think the only thing that surprised me is the aerial duels.
I know.
I don't know where they get that from, because where's the 35 times we hit long balls for Cabano and we didn't win one of those? They don't seem to have counted those in the stats, do they? Really?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure either by that. And if we did win the aerial duels, it was pretty much in vain. I think. I don't know. And we're recalling fouls. Apparently, there we are. We. we've got a match there. But I don't think there's really much you can say about it. It's positive, you know. It's the first time that I can't remember the last time actually when we didn't have at least 50% of the possession.
I can't remember the last time, David. It's bizarre. I can't remember.
Have we actually had less than 50% possession any match this season? Probably, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. So that's the biggest shocker, and the number of passes. And that's the whole epitome of where we went wrong, because our game is built around the midfield passing between themselves and short passes and running.
They took it away, David. They totally took that away.
Yeah. And it, you know, testament to Spurs that they did a job on us, but also, I'm afraid, the next topic, the coach for picking the wrong team.
All right, David, it's time to rate Slavisa in this match. I think you and I are going to agree with what you have to say, so let it go here, David.
I'm afraid, Slavisa, for me, it's a big fat zero for today. You know, this was a match we were looking forward to with so much excitement. You know, national television, show the world what we can do, the football we've been playing. And, you know, looking at other results, we've got, you know, Burnley beating Lincoln and Oxford giving Middlesbrough a scare. We can go out and give a great account of ourselves and show what a good team we are. And just maybe we can pull off a shock and be in the quarterfinals with some of the teams left in it, a chance for getting to the semi-finals in Wembley. But no, Slavisa, you've screwed up, I'm afraid. You've picked the wrong team from the start. And we've seen that. I think, you know, on Friday, we've predicted that we need to play Chris Martin. But no, we've started with these guys up front, this similar style of football, like to run with the ball, but no holding the ball up front. And it was clear it wasn't working, absolutely clear. And you didn't change it at half time. You should have changed it at half time. Everyone was saying change it at half time. And so had you done that, I would have given you some credit for that. But I didn't like the way you changed things. In fact, you didn't really make any changes. Bringing on Session on perhaps helped plug the gap, but it didn't actually address the major problem. And you've swapped Syriac for Aluku. And we've just played with the same kind of players in the same kind of style where it clearly wasn't working. So, you know, what's going on with Chris Martin? Are you trying to make a point now that I'm just going to keep you on the bench and make you rot for the rest of the season? Which is great. It's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Okay, very good there, David. That was a nice long rant. I'm glad that you got that off your chest. While you were doing that, we are actually joined by our co-host, Emilio Danello, who's going to finish up the show with us. Emilio, how you doing?
Well, how do I respond to that? Is it a David rant? A lot of things I don't disagree with, you know, but let's just put perspective on this, please. You know, yes, I agree, opportunity to showcase the team, the stadium, the fans to the world. Don't disagree with that. But we're playing against, you know, typically probably the second best team in the country. Let's not forget about that. And Tottenham put out pretty much a strong team, especially their midfield and forward lineup. It's their starting six or front six, basically, all played today. And, you know, we were very comfortable throughout the game. But let's put it into perspective here. You know, it's not Slavisa's fault. And I'm just, you know, hear it carefully. You know, I'm not his biggest fan, but it's not his fault that he had limited options here. You know, this goes back maybe a fundamental question around the investment at the club, the depth of the squad. And we're not quite ready yet. You know, we have to build. We have to move forward. Take a few paces forward. Let's look where we were this season, this time last season, compared to this season. We've been knocked out in the last 16 in the FA Cup against a very talented and very, you know, very good Tottenham Hotspur side. You know, it's the reality of the matter is the squad isn't strong enough, and we all know that. Yes, some of the decision making today I think was quite poor. We did lack a typical target man up front, but if anyone's going to get a zero, it's the board. Or their lack of investment in January. If the coach has got limited options here, you know, I think zero is a bit harsh, but he didn't do himself justice with maybe lack of tactical substitutions at halftime, not playing a target man up front. Piazon, I'm not sure, probably too lightweight for me. I'm not his biggest fan either, but again, he's not good enough to play in the Premier League, but good enough at this level. So there's more fundamental issues here rather than just looking at purely today. Slav got a 0 out of 10. I wouldn't give him a 0 out of 10. I'd give the board a 0 out of 10 because if we had more depth, more quality of a bigger squad and probably better strikers, we probably would be in a better position. We would have hurt Tottenham a little bit more. But at the end of the day, it will tell the board that we're some way off where we need to be. it'll be an eye-opener for those guys. They need to realize if they want to push on and pursue a top six or promotional push next season, or even this season, if we're fortunate, we're a long way off from having a squad that's able to compete in the Premier League. So there's a positive there that the squad is not quite there yet. But I'm not going to rant, you know, to the extreme of David, as he's got every right to rant, and I understand why. But my view is we've made the last 16 in the FA Cup and lost to a very good Tottenham Hotspur team. You know, we're on the fringes of a playoff place. We're moving upwards, not downwards. And with a bit more investment, I know we keep saying this every year, but with a bit more investment, you know, we can inch closer to where we want to get to. But the only thing that disappointed me today was the lack of fight, the lack of spirit, the lack of, I don't know, we just didn't have any appetite to win. We were just a bit too casual at times. And, you know, and Tottenham have a lot to answer for. And they gave us a lot of respect and put on a very strong team. And maybe we should give Tottenham Hotspur more credit than they've deserved. So as far as I'm concerned, disappointing defeat. A lot of negatives for the board to reflect on. But I wouldn't give Slav a zero. I'd give him like, you know, three or four. And that's, you know, and that's coming from me as, you know, one of, not his biggest fan in the world. So I think sometimes his hands were tied today. He could have made some more tactical substitutions, you know, like he did against Wigan and Forest last week. But I think what was disappointing, there was just a lack of spite. Maybe we gave Tottenham too much respect as well. Maybe that's at the end of the day where we went wrong. But good experience, good exposure for the club. Let's keep pushing on. Let's move up the upper reach of this division. And maybe if we don't succeed this year again in the Premier League, there's next year. But it goes to show we just need a bit more depth there, a bit more quality, and we definitely need more strikers.
Okay, very good there, Emilio. I'm going to go right back to you. Definitely a good take by you, and obviously David's rant was very interesting. But what I wanted to talk to you about, you were talking about the performance by Tottenham Hotspur. I actually think this has more to do with them than Fulham. I thought that they were dominant. They wouldn't give us the space that we need. And I think this has much more to do with them. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, it's as much as I don't like Tottenham Hotspur, but they play very eloquently. They're very quick, good one-touch football. And they've had to come through a long journey as well. They've not got to the top two of the country overnight. They've taken a few years of investment, building the right plays. They've made some wrong purchases as well. They bought Sissoko for 30 million. He can barely get on the bench. So it's not just Fulham who are struggling to get the right players at the right prices or make wrong decisions in the transfer market. So every club goes through, though. You know, for every good signing, well, maybe half a bad signing. So, but Tottenham Hotspur are a very talented team, a lot of youth, a lot of pace. We're trying to play like Tottenham Hotspur. You know, very, you know, good one-touch football, keep possession, high possession rate. And at the end of the day, we've got to give them credit because Pochettino's done a lot with this squad. He's pushing... you know, up to top two of the Premier League. They're the only team that have beaten our neighbours down the road in the last 3 or 4 months. So they deserve some credit for that as well. So this is not a Burnley. This is not a bottom six Premier League team. This is a team pushing for second place in the Premier League with the assumption that Chelsea are going to win the Premier League this year. So let's just not forget. The only thing is, if I look at the other teams, like, you know, Lincoln going away to Burnley and winning, Blackburn, at least giving Man United a bit of a push this evening. I think they were losing 2-1 when I last saw. So, but that's a disappointment. If we didn't concede as early as we did and maybe got an equal, got a 2-0 down, got a goal there. I think Kevin McDonald had a free header there, should have done better. That goes in, different story. You know, so in the first 10 minutes of the second half, we started off a little bit more promisingly, came forward a lot more, good one-touch passing. But maybe I agree with David on the point that maybe we should have changed it at half-time and maybe just change the system a little bit and give Tottenham something different to think about. But it was too easy overall. They dominated possession, especially in the second half. You look at the possession in the second half stats, you know, they're pretty impressive from a Tottenham Hotspur team. So end of the day, they deserve a lot of credit. But, you know, we tried to push them, just weren't good enough. And let's go back to the league and focus on the trying to get points in the bag against those games in hands that we have. So okay. I'm not despondent. You know, many fans will be, but it's an FA Cup game, one-off tie. We're not quite ready yet, and let's move on and focus medium term again.
Okay. David, back over to you. Thoughts on what Emilio just had to share?
Yeah, well, Emilio's been very kind there, I think. I haven't at any time, I think, said that Tottenham didn't deserve this. But, you know, what Emilio says kind of echoes what I thought, that, in fact, I'd like to have a go at them. You know, even if we'd lost by more, I'd like to have a go at them and shown a bit of fight. But no time really to be show any fight today. And that's what upset me the most in the game today. And it's just, you know, a combination of obviously I think a bad January transfer window, the situation with Martin, maybe a bit of pig-headedness, I don't know. And it's just a very disappointing day, that's all. Our chance to shine, our one chance. This is not on, you know, Sky TV or something. This was on national television that anyone can watch, whether you've got Sky or not. And, you know, we let ourselves down, and it would have been fantastic to be in that draw tonight. But it's not to be, so we have to take it on the chin and move on.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, let's wrap this up. Emilio, I'm going to start with you. I'm glad that you were able to join us at the end. So I want to get your final thoughts before we wrap up the show.
I think David hit those adjectives at the end there. You know, despondent, disappointing. You know, it was an opportunity. It was a showcase match, you know, London Derby. We didn't really compete. It was just a bad day in the office. Let's be very frank, against a very, very good, technically competent team. And so at the end of the day, yes, we could have tried harder. We maybe could have fought better, but we've got a league game coming. That might have had something to do with it. And obviously, I didn't hear what you guys said before, you know, the early part of the show, but we've got a league game coming up, and a lot of the players today will be starting on Wednesday night. So maybe we didn't go in there as physically as we could have done. So maybe there was an element we played in third gear, maybe fourth gear. But at the end of the day, I agree with David. If we would have lost 4 or 5-0, but actually fought, made their keeper work hard, you know, really pushed their defence better. I thought their defence, not the best starting defence of Tottenham Hotspur in the world, but we didn't give them any problems, really. And that's testament to Pochettino, well organised, well drilled. But, you know, let's swallow this defeat and move on, and we've got Bristol City later in the week. That's, as far as I'm concerned, that's a bigger game. And, you know, if we lose that, then we start to worry about whether that top six place is really there up for grabs. But we've got two games in hand against some of the teams above us. And big ifs, but like I've said amongst ourselves, if we win those two games in hand, and we beat Leeds United at home, then we might all be dreaming still of a playoff place at Wembley later this year. But for now, disappointing defeat today, but let's move on and focus on the league.
Okay, very good. David, final thoughts before we go?
Well, I managed to do the show, I think, without swearing, so that's that's one ambition. I don't know how I did it, because I'm sure I was going to swear. I could do it now just to break my record, but I'm not going to. But
thank you, David.
I think today just shows, I'm sure Briefcase Ben will listen at some point. Briefcase Ben asked on Friday if we were good enough for the Premier League, if you remember, I think, or
yes,
something like that. I said, no, we're not. And I think today just backs that up, what the gulf in class that would be needed to compete at Premier League level. Of course, not everyone is as good as Spurs. We know that. If we could play someone, you know, like Leicester or Hull every week, who we, you know, we beat in a previous round, Hull, obviously. You know, we could do okay, but we would be on the end of some beatings, I think, if we were in the Premier League at the moment. We would probably be on the end of beatings most weeks. So it shows that we still have a long way to go, really. But let's see what happens. Wednesday is very important, as are nearly every other match we have coming up now. So let's see if there's a reaction from this on Wednesday. If there is, I may be a little bit happier, more than I am today anyway.
Okay. All right, David. My final thoughts actually involves a post that I did on Cottage Talk Facebook page today. And here's what I was asking. I just said, where are you? Fulham supporters are all over the world. So I'm curious, where do you listen to this show from? Please feel free to leave your thoughts in the comment section. Well, guys, I've gotten 45 replies, comments, and it's amazing. So I just want to thank everyone for sending their comments where they live and where they listen to the show. I'm going to share some of them. Like I said, there are 45 of them. Stephen Moore, Cambridge, England. Jason Gades, Michigan. Patty Houlihan, St. Louis, Missouri. Matthew Patterson, Pittsburgh, PA. Felix Cross, Sydney. Andy Newland, Lymington, England. I probably said that wrong. June Hammond Baker, Fulham, but now live in Fareham, Hampshire. Maddie Discom, Perth, Western Australia. Gareth Brooks, Fort Myers, Florida. Bill Sarkisian, Kentucky, USA. Cal Lee, San Antonio. Marcus Michaelis, Berlin, Germany. Mark Angus, Adelaide, Australia. Owen Roberts, Aarhus, Denmark. Michelle Burrows, Dubai. So my reason for reading these, and there are more, we have Fulham supporters listening to Cottage Talk from everywhere, and I just want to thank all of you for listening. It's amazing from where you all listen to this show. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to Cottage Talk. And that's how we're going to end this show. Just thank you to all the Fulham supporters that continue to listen to this show. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. For David Holly and Emilio Dano, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.